this whole idea of quantum physics, Newton's law, nature, the way, the order of things, and how life and nature itself operates. And I could see a reflection of my own self, my own being in all of that. And reading Newton's law, third law of motion, which says for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, was like a religious experience for me. I just understand, I mean, all my bells and whistles and lights and dancing emojis went off because I could see that. I'd experienced a little bit of that in The Color Purple, that beautiful line where Whoopi, as Miss Seeley, says, everything you try to do to me is already done to you. That struck me, in particular in the movie. And I understood that everybody's actually saying the same thing. Newton's saying the same thing as Miss Seeley is saying the same thing as what we in this country and many other countries call the golden rule, that really what you put out is coming back all the time. And what really struck me is that it's not do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It really is when you do, it's already done, because that's law.
How did you turn your pain into purpose?
Well, before the pain became a purpose, it was just an acknowledgement of what had happened to me. And one of the things we talk about in the What Happened to You book is that anything that has happened to you, and I wanted to just make this point to everybody, there's not a Black woman in this room who hasn't been through something that helped her build strength, and then something else that helped you build strength, and then something else that helped you build strength. I mean, sometimes you go through so much, you say, God, don't teach me nothing else new today. I don't need no more strength building. But this is what I know, is that strength times strength times strength times strength, every time you got stronger, you were building power. Because strength times strength times strength times strength equals powerful. So we're sitting in a room amongst ourselves with all of these powerful women who have their stories of what happened to you that you can now turn into post-traumatic wisdom. So what I was able to do was to take what had happened to me and to use it as an empathy builder for myself and for other people. And it is my empathy and connection that has allowed me to be the woman that I am today. And so anything that has happened to you, if you are willing to learn from it, to open up and no longer allow the stigma and shame to cause you to hide your secrets, but to know that your vulnerability is where your real strength lies, and take that pain and turn it into something meaningful for yourself. And as Maya used to say, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Not even the sexual abuse, the sexual assault. You know, when I was raped, I didn't even know what a penis was. And like so many other people in this room who were also sexually assaulted when they were young, I didn't tell anybody because I knew it would be turned on me. I knew I was not in a safe environment where other adults would trust my word. And so I kept it to myself until I was literally on an Oprah Winfrey show. Somebody shared their story of abuse. And I was like, I thought I was the only one. I thought I was the only person who had been raped at 9 and molested until I was 14. So I think being able to take your pain and turn it into purpose and power begins first with being able to empathize with other people who've been through the same kind of pain. And everything that's happened to you has also happened for you, if you allow it to be. There's not one thing that has happened to you that you cannot now turn into something that is useful and meaningful in the life that you are now leading forward.
How do you stay on the positive path of, you know, positive karma? Not even with in regards to, you know, I would never do that again. But when you have so many negative forces, even in your family, that can come in, how do you stay in a positive place with positive karma?
If there are a lot of negative people in your life, don't look at them. Look at the energy that you are creating to attract them. Don't look at them. Look at yourself. What are you doing to draw those people? Because if you are surrounded by negative people, there's a part of you that's willing to tolerate that. Is there not?
I agree, because there were a couple of negative people in my life, and mm-hmm. I chose to keep them in my life because I didn't want to push them away. Like, mm-hmm. you don't push them away because, you know, because they were friends. So, you don't...
It really comes down to, I mean, who do you want to be in the world? Who do you want to be? Not what do you want to do, not what do you want to achieve. Who do you want to be? What is the kind of person when they're reading your eulogy? What do you want the words to be said about the kind of person you have been in the world? Do you know the answer to that question? Do you know the answer to that question? I'm asking that of everybody. Do you know what that is? Because in the end, you know, I was just at one of my dear Harpo employees, been here for 20 years. Her husband died suddenly of a brain aneurysm. It was the most beautiful ceremony. I left that ceremony wanting to be a better human being, because the words that were said about him as a human being, as a father, as an uncle, as a friend, the words that people spoke about him were so loving and impassioned that I thought, gee, when I die, I don't want people to talk about the number of shows I did. You want people to talk about how your love affected them, the love that you put out into the world. Yeah, affected them. So if that is the paradigm that you're living from, how can I serve and be the most loving, gracious, giving person, whatever my talent is, to all the girls that you're counseling? How do I do that with love, ultimately? I'm telling you, the negative energy will change. And when you become that force for yourself, you won't allow it. I don't care what their title or role is in your life. You just really won't. Sometimes you have to divorce your friends and divorce your family members. And if you handle them with love in doing it, they will come back. You will have an opportunity to reconcile. I speak from what I know. But I've had family members for whom I've said, I will not allow you to treat me this way. I will not allow you to treat me this way. And for one family member, it took them 3 years to get, when you get some sense, call me and let me know that your senses has returned. And what can you do when you've done all you can? You just stand. It's one of my favorite gospel songs. Always gives me goosebump fortification when I hear it, especially when Donnie McClurkin sings, prayed and cried, prayed and cried. After you've done all you can, you just stand. Well, I read a story today about a 65-year-old Ukrainian woman who used to pride herself on her beautiful embroidery work and now is sewing bulletproof vests for soldiers and grateful to still be standing to fight the war. It got me thinking about what it means to keep standing in the face of the most grave adversity. Another story, a man named Yuri huddled in a church basement saying, "It's hell here. Imagine 200 people sitting in one room for 2 days. We can't even breathe fresh air." Well, I don't want to imagine it, but I know we are not supposed to turn away as the days drag on and the Ukrainian people keep standing in the face of such terror and devastation. So in our own lives, what can we do to keep standing for what's right, what's just, for what will bring us peace? Martha Beck says, peace is our home. We deserve, you deserve peace. What can you do this week to take a stand for peace in your own life and the lives of those that you love, and make it so? Let me know in the comments below, because I love hearing from you, and we know that what the world needs from all of us is more peace.